Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Colerain, Massachusetts. Today, Pastor Jim is continuing his series in 2 Corinthians. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
This morning we'll be moving on to the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. I'll be reading the first 15 verses of that chapter. If you're using the Pew Bible, you'll see that that begins at the bottom of page 1804. 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 15. I hope you will put up with a little of my foolishness, but you are already doing that. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousness. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. But I do not think that I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you freely, free of charge? I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. And when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I have kept myself from being a burden to you in any way, and will continue to do so. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, nobody in the regions of Acacia will stop this boasting of me. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. And I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning.
Thank you very much. Continue on. I know they're having a lot of problems in that church in Corinth. There were some false teachers, false apostles that came into the church to stir up trouble, to try to discredit Paul, God's chosen apostle. Try to discredit him personally, to discredit his motives for being there, his character. He was being attacked by these false teachers that crept into that church in Paul's absence, and not just that church, in other churches as well. And some people within that church, even believers, were believing these accusations, believing these wolves in sheep's clothing who were telling lies about Paul. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, again, it's good to see everyone out this morning. We thank you that you've stirred us up to come to worship you in the house of the Lord on the Lord's day. We're in the best place we could ever possibly be. And we thank you for this place. We thank you for each one that's come out. And we ask that you would give us understanding, help us concentrate, not be distracted, and teach us through this message that we have prepared for each one of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. He said in verse 1, I hope you will put up with me a little foolishness. Yes, please put up with me. He's being sarcastic here, Paul. He's saying, you know, just for argument's sake, just bear with me. Just hear me out, okay? Some may think I'm stupid in that church, but just listen to what I have to say. He's being sarcastic. And he's, for argument's sake, they're asking him to listen to what he has to say through this letter that he wrote to them. He said, I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy, verse 2. I promise you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. Paul considered them like his children. He considered like he was their spiritual father, because he was the one that preached the gospel and they came to know Jesus as their personal Savior. So he was, it says, jealous over them. In other words, he was very protective of them. If anyone had children, you're very protective of your children, right? And this is how Paul viewed them. He loved those people. And because of his preaching, they became part of the church. In other words, they are the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the church. Also referred in the Bible as the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. He is the bridegroom. Amen? The Bible teaches that one day the whole church, when it's finally put together, the last person that gets saved will all be taken up, referred to as the rapture. Well, that's not in the Word of God. But we'll meet the Lord in the air when He returns. And right now, we're like a spouse to Him. We're engaged to Him. But one day, that marriage will be consummated once we receive a resurrected body. And we will sit down in heaven with Christ and all the other saints and enjoy like the marriage reception in heaven, which is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Read this in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. I'll read it. Listen. This is what's going to happen. Revelation is basically prophecy, things that will take place in the future. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. Who's the bride? The church, fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. And then the angel said to me, write this. Remember, it was the Apostle Paul that received the revelation when he was on the island of Patmos. Write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. So that's going to take place one day. While there's tribulation going on in this world, 7 years, the church is going to be up there enjoying the wedding supper of the Lamb. Now, Paul warns the church here in verse 3, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. He was scared for them. Talking about the serpent, which is the devil, the one that deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. He's cunning, he says. Did you see that? Verse 3, by the serpent's cunning. He's cunning, meaning he's crafty. Not that he's good with a, you know, sewing kit. He's crafty, he's wicked. Who's been deceiving people for thousands of years and continues to deceive millions and millions of people, even today. The devil, once the church was established, and I'm talking about the church, where the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, prior to that, there was no church. Prior to that, there was Old Testament saints. And the church had been persecuted from its inception. But what happened? Especially in Jerusalem, there was tremendous persecution of the church. So what happened? The church spread out. And instead of what Satan wanted to do was destroy the church through that persecution that came in. Remember, they used to burn Christians in the Colosseum and places like that. Use them as torches, you know. They used to kill them and horrible things. But instead of the church dying, it just grew. It grew. And it spread out. Once the Christians spread out from Jerusalem, they took the word of God with them. And the church grew. So Satan didn't get his way to try to eliminate the church. It didn't happen. So what he does then, he tries different tactics. Different tactics. What does he do? Well, sometimes he plants his agents within churches. All right? What do they do? He does it to stir up trouble. He stir up trouble. And they appear to be believers, right? But actually they are deceivers. They're not true believers, they are deceivers. It's like the wheat and the tares, they're growing up together. They grow up together, and you'll find them within the church. Now, that also, these deceivers, that also includes certain ministers that preach and teach another gospel. All right? It's another gospel. These ministers are Satan's angels. They're counterfeit Christians. They're not genuine. Now, Paul warns here in verse 4. He said, "For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than Jesus we preached, if you receive a different spirit from the spirit, capital S, you received, which is the Holy Spirit, or a different gospel for the one you accepted." See, they were saved through the preaching of God's word. They received the Holy Spirit. That's how you get saved. Amen. But they were coming in, these wolves in sheep's clothing, these false apostles, these false teachers, wanting the preeminence, try to put Paul down, try to discredit him, so they could get the preeminence and get control in that church and others. And it's happening today. Thankfully not this one, while I'm around anyway. Some Christians were falling for the lies of these false teachers, what they preached. So they sounded really good. They were great orators. You know, Paul says, "I'm not a great orator. You know, I just came and demonstrated the power of the Holy Spirit." That's where the truth comes through, preaching the pure gospel. It was a different gospel from what Paul preached. And the church was putting up with these people. He said, "You put up with them easily enough." He's being sarcastic. Would Paul ever be sarcastic? Yeah, he was. "You put up with them. You're falling for it." So he talks about a different spirit. What's a different spirit? It's demon spirits inspired by Satan to corrupt the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's happening in churches today. Amen? Some of you know what they are. And we're in the last days. Jesus is coming back very soon. Once the church is complete, we're going to be taken out. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So comfort one another with these words. And he could come back at any time. So we're in the last days. We're living in the age of grace. Right? But there's going to be a cutoff point. And since Jesus died on the cross, was buried, he rose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, since then, the last 2,000 years, we are living in the age of grace. Why is that? Because the gospel, God wants the gospel to be preached into the whole world. That's the mercy of God. But there's going to be a cutoff point when the church is finally complete and taken out. We're in the last days. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 and 2. The Spirit, and that's capital S, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith. You know anyone that's done that? They will abandon the faith and they will follow deceiving spirits, capital, small capital, not capital, lowercase, small s. They'll follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come from, through hypocritical liars. Doesn't mix words, does it? Doesn't mix words, doesn't mix it. Doesn't water it down. And there are millions upon millions of people that have believed lies, that continue to believe lies. It's another gospel. It's another gospel. It's promoted by the devil. And there's so many of them. So many cults. So many false religions. We can't begin to count them. I'll just give you a couple. Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't believe that Jesus is God. Did you know that? They don't believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe that the Holy Bible is the Word of God. They say there's no such thing as hell. There's no such thing as hell. There's no such thing as the Trinity. What is the Trinity? Three persons who are co-equal yet one God. They don't believe that. It's a false religion. It's a cult. It's another gospel. Not the gospel truth that's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's counterfeit Christianity. If you ask them if they were Christians, they'd probably say yes. I don't know. But I know they don't believe Jesus is God. And if you don't believe Jesus is God, then you're not a Christian. Amen? 2 John verse 7 says, for many deceivers. There's so many, you can't count them. Many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. Anti-Christian. They're anti-Jesus, all right? They're opposed to Jesus. But they sound good, they look good. And I feel sorry for them because they are deceived by the devil. So we need to pray for them. All right? Let's think of another one. The Mormon religion. Do you know the history of the Mormon religion? I'll tell you. A man named Joseph Smith. He didn't believe that the Bible was true. He didn't believe it was truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. Didn't believe that. So when he was young, he prayed for help, for divine revelation. And according to his own account, get this, God and Jesus appeared to him. Well, my Bible says that Jesus is God. So there's two people that come appeared to him. Okay, let's carry on. God and Jesus appeared to him. In answer to his question, his prayer, which was, according to his own account, which was the right church? And these two, whoever they were, told him that all these other churches are wrong. They're all wrong. Although a local minister to whom he related this vision to told him, and he dismissed it as a complete delusion. But he ignored him. So Smith continued to believe in its authenticity. 1823, he received another revelation. That's the second one. While praying for forgiveness, he later reported an angel calling himself Moroni appeared to him in his bedroom and told him about a set of golden plates containing a record of the ancient inhabitants of America. Now, this is what he said. Smith found these plates. They were buried in a stone box not far from his father's farm. That's very convenient. Didn't have too far to go. Now, 4 years later, the angel permitted him to remove the plates and instructed him to translate the characters engraved on their surfaces with the aid of special stones called interpreters. Now, Smith insisted that he did not compose the book, but merely translated it under divine guidance. In completing the work in less than 90 days, he published in March 1830, 588-page volume called The Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon. And that is their Bible. And that's what they believe. That's their Bible. It's an uninspired, not inspired by the Holy Spirit, but inspired by the devil. All right? And I don't doubt there's some truth and veracity that he did meet some angel. But you know what? It wasn't an angel sent from God. It was an angel sent from Satan. It was a demon spirit. And since then, and they continue to deceive millions upon millions upon millions of people. But they call themselves, what? The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Jesus got nothing to do with it. So Paul continues to be a bit more sarcastic in verse 5. He said, I do not think I am the least inferior to those super apostles. I'm not inferior to those people that claim to be apostles and they claim to be superior to me. He calls them false teachers. He calls them out for who they are. They're promoting themselves as apostles, but were not. But they sounded so impressive. They sounded so convincing. And that's where the deception comes in. People are taken in. People are naive. Amen? Verse 6, I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. See, he knew the truth. Amen? We know the truth. Truth will set you free. I'm free. Free at last, free at last. Praise the Lord, I'm free at last. Thank you, Jesus. He goes on to tell them, 8 and 9, because of time, I'm not going to go into it. I could do if you want. I'll keep you here for another 45 minutes like last week. I looked at the podcast, 45 minutes. That's all right, nobody died. Well, I hope not. Anyway, it tells you in 8 and 9 that he did take some financial support from other churches. In Macedonia, remember the Macedonian church? Were they a rich church? You remember? Remember when Paul was trying to raise funds from the churches to send to the church in Jerusalem that was suffering? And the church in Macedonia gave, but it was a poor church. They didn't have much to give, but they supported the Apostle Paul. That's when he said, I robbed the churches. He didn't literally rob them. He didn't steal the money, but he felt like he did because they were a poor church and they couldn't afford to support him, but they did anyway. But then in this church in Corinth, were they poor? Remember? Were they poor? No. But he never took one, I'll say cent, but they didn't have sense. They had some common sense, but he didn't take one denarius from them. Not one cent from that rich church in Corinth. Why? Because he didn't want his accusers pointing the finger at him and saying, he's doing it just for the money. He's there for the money. And some of them would have done that. And he never took any money from them, but he took it from Macedonia. He had to eat. In the meantime, he was a tent maker by trade. And if you're not selling tents, you've got to eat. So some of these churches supported him financially, even though they couldn't really afford it. And he had no choice but to take it. So he felt like, it feels like I'm robbing these people. But thank God for them. And one in Philippi in particular. He loved these people in Corinth. He loved them. He says that in verse 11. I haven't got time to read it. He proved his love for them while he was there. And he continued to prove his love for them by telling them the truth. Now, he may not have been very popular, because if you want to be popular, don't become a minister. If you're looking for popularity, because if you're going to tell the truth, you're going to offend people. Have I ever offended you? Well, don't take it from me, because I'm just a mouthpiece. Right? This is the true word of God. And anyone who seeks to teach it and preach it is going to be attacked, just like they did with the Apostle Paul. So, you can expect that. But it's not always pleasant. It's not pleasant at all. Look how, imagine how Paul felt. You know? So he said in verse 12 and 13, why did he tell the truth? Why was he trying to explain to them that these people were coming in and deceiving them? Why did he have to write to them? To educate them, inform them? He said, in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us, the true apostles. But some people are false apostles. They're deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder. No wonder. Are you surprised? Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. And I'll tell you, if anything happens to me, you better be careful who you get to replace me. You really need to be careful who you get to replace me and what they really believe. You know, I went to a funeral the other day. Denise's mother's sister died. It was a Roman Catholic funeral. And he was quoting all kinds of scriptures, which was dead on. And then he was praying for the dearly departed, that her soul would be accepted into heaven. And he looked really good. And it sounded really great, and it gave people a lot of comfort, knowing that one day they'll meet Auntie May once again in the hereafter. But it's deceptive. It's not true. Unless you're born again, you cannot enter in. You cannot see the kingdom of God. And for her, God bless her, it's too late. You don't pray for the dead. It's a false gospel. You understand? It's not in accordance with this. We don't pray for the dead. For them, it's too late. They need to be saved in this life. And then, there's no problem. They're guaranteed a home in heaven. Amen? I didn't say that. My Bible does. I believe this. From cover to cover, Old Testament and New Testament. Every word of it is inspired by God. Satan's a deceiver. He's got his agents doing his will. The devil's original name was Lucifer. That means light bearer. All right? Light bearer. He was a beautiful angel. Still is. Let me explain from the Word of God about this angel. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. The stars is referring to the angels. And there was a third of them kicked out along with him. And he said, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. On the farthest side of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He wanted to be God. And God, knowing everything, he was all powerful, he knew what was going on. And he kicked him out. And there were a third of the angels, multitudinal, evil spirits they are. Demon spirits were cast out, and they're doing their work. Look at the mess that the world is in and the havoc that it's caused. All right. Now, when people imagine the devil, you ever just imagine what the devil looks like? When people, some people, try to imagine the devil, what comes into your mind? Right, very good. They envision a skinny guy with a black goatee, right? Wearing a red suit, pointed tail, and holding a pitchfork, yeah? Right? This could be further from the truth. This couldn't be further from the truth. He's a beautiful angel. All right? But he's a fallen angel. And we've got his description here in Ezekiel chapter 28, 12 through 17. It says about him, he's full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. He's gorgeous. That's the word I can use. He said, you were in Eden. What was she talking about? Garden of Eden. When he deceived Eve, remember that? You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. You were the anointed cherub. It's not just some angel on the lower scale. He was one of the top angels. The anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You're on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in all your ways from the day you were created. Everything that has ever existed has been created by God. Except God, because God has always existed. He's not created. But the angels were. All right? You enjoying this? I know I am. You were perfect in all your ways from the days that you were created. But there was a problem. Till iniquity was found in you. See, he was proud. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you. O covering cherub from the midst of the fiery stones. And this was his problem. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. And I cast you to the ground. He was kicked out. Almost finished. So, and Paul says, is it surprising then? In verse 15, the last verse. If his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Got people like that in the pulpit, a lot of them. In this area. Not too far away. Masquerading as servants of righteousness. You see, Jesus has his followers. Many of them, thank God. And some of them are his servants, his ministers. Amen? That have been ordained. You see, it was one of the greatest preachers called C.S. Spurgeon. Although he was a preacher in the Baptist denomination, he never got ordained as a Baptist. And he took some flack for that. And he says, I don't need to be ordained by man because God has ordained me. It's God who ordains the ministers of Jesus Christ. All right? God appoints them. The living God appoints them. It's a calling. It's not just a job. It's a genuine call from God. Now, if you would have asked me many years ago if I was going to be a minister of the gospel, no, not me. See? It's the God that does the calling. It's not just a job. So, thank God that he has his followers. But the devil also has his followers. Not only the fallen angels that were cast out of heaven along with him, Lucifer, but also he has ministers that preach from pulpits a false gospel that they pervert the truth that are sending millions of people to hell. And that's the whole point of why Satan raises these people up, because one day he's going to be cast into the lake of fire along with his angels and the false prophets. All right? And everyone who's not saved is going to end up in the lake of fire. So he wants to take as many people with him as possible. And this is what he does. He's a deceiver. And he's been deceiving people for thousands of years and continues to do so. So what will happen to these servants of Satan? Well, I've just told you, eventually the lake of fire. But what will happen? It tells us there in verse 15. It says their end will be what their actions deserve. Their end will be what their actions deserve. So the word of God is clear, and I'll close with these verses. In Galatians, it's over in the next chapter. We hope to be studying this once we finish with Corinthians, whenever that will be, Lord willing. Inspired word of God, Galatians chapter 1. Again, they were coming into the church in Galatia. And Paul had to write to that church, try to straighten them out, warn them they're being deceived by these false apostles. He said, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Isn't that what we've been talking about? A different gospel? Which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, this is the key. What will happen to these servants of Satan? Their end will be what their actions deserve. And we'll close with this. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, and so now I say again, if anybody, I hope you false ministers are listening to this message, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. That's sent to hell. That's what that means. And it's not to be trifled with. The pure, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, that he was without sin, that he died on the cross, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead. And it's only through him we could obtain everlasting life. That is the gospel, pure and simple, in a nutshell. Amen? Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, that it's true. We can believe it. We know that it's true. We've experienced it in our own lives. We're changed. We're not the same as we were before. We were lost, fumbling around in darkness until we saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more sorrow. No more night. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this sin-sick world, showing us the way. We were once deceived by the God of this world, but now we are believers. We know the truth because you are the truth, and we've received everlasting life. And maybe somebody listening to this message, that you've never come to Christ. You may be religious. Religion's not going to save your soul. There's countless religions in this world, but there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And if you believe that, you call on his name to save you. You believe he is Lord, that God raised him from the dead, having died for your sins, then you can enter into life eternal. And there may be some ministers that are not preaching the pure gospel, listening to this message. You're standing on very shaky ground, and I urge you, I pray for you that you will preach Christ and Him crucified. And woe betide those who do not, because they will be cast into the lake of fire, because they preach another gospel that is not according to the true inspired word of God, which is inspired by Him. We thank you for this time, and we thank you for the people that paid attention and enlightened us through your word, we pray. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.